welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in a passage in the book of Acts, and this is really kind of a little story time, all right? We're going to do a little story time on the life of a guy who starts out with the name Saul and ends up with the name Paul. So let's kind of go and do a little backstory on this guy named Saul. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest." So this is a guy who obviously does not like Christians. "And he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way," that's our Christian way, "whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' Then he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has come. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food and was strengthened, then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus." So this is such a powerful story. I mean, in 19 verses, we have a guy who starts out as the absolute kingpin of hating Christians. Detests, despises, murder is in his eyes, in his mouth, in his heart, okay? By the end of the 19th verse, he is now saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, set apart for the work to do the work of God in the church. Wow. It's quite a story that happens in just a very, you know, short period of time, really, even chronologically. And we find that God can do that. God can just, and has done that. We have our own backstories and testimonies of where we were and where we are. But we can see here that from where Paul was to where Paul is, there was an in-between time there. It's interesting, you know, Paul says, "Lord, you know, what do you want me to do?" Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord said, "I'm Jesus." And then so he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And so what did the Lord tell him to do? He said, "Go into the city and you will be told what you must do." Now, a lot of times we'll say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" We think that he's going to tell us what to do. He'll tell us to do something that'll get us to where we're going to find out what we need to do. It was kind of an interesting little transition for Paul. So, I mean, what Paul was asking, you know, what he wanted him to do, the Lord goes on and tells this guy named Ananias the things that Paul really, God answered Paul's question and gave the answer to Ananias. And so in verse 15, the Lord said to him, he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, the children of Israel, for I will show him the many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then Ananias goes and tells Paul. Isn't that interesting how God does things? Isn't it interesting how God will get and communicate and work things through in your life? Again, Paul goes from the hater of the church, chief hater of the church, ultimately, we know, to really one of the chief apostles and founders of the church in terms of just getting the word out, establishing churches and whatnot. But in between, there was an in-between time, and Paul needed direction. And in that direction, there was transition. God said, you go here, and it'll be told you. So then God anoints Ananias, gives him the word. Ananias then obeys God and gives Paul what the Lord said. Have you noticed that? God in your life, sometimes he's going to kind of go through different avenues. It would be nice to say, Lord, show me, and then bang, you get it, you get the answer. A lot of times it doesn't really happen that way. There's going to be a transition in between. And that's kind of what we were getting to really this morning. I want us to talk about getting through life's transitions. Because there's a lot of times our lives aren't just, you know, nice, clean cut paths. And it'd be nice sometimes it works out that way. But a lot of times there's basically what God does in our lives is he does things in seasons, all right? And then in between seasons, there's transitions as you're going from one season to the next season. And many times the transitions aren't really fun, exciting stuff. Here's just some examples. Moving. We experienced a moving transition in the last few months. Changing schools, changing jobs, changing churches, getting married, having children, children leaving home, taking care of an elderly parent, losing a loved one. Different things like that that can be really event changing. These are just some examples of natural things that you can experience, transitions and things that you're going through in life. And as you're going through those, you know, they're not always really comfortable. Again, there was a great little story I heard, a guy who saw this documentary about dolphins and how they were going to move this dolphin from one pond of water to another pond of water. And the pond, well, and they needed to do it because he had grown so much that he had outgrown that pond that they had had him in, and he really needed to be set free to the bigger pond to be able to, you know, fully enjoy his life. But to do that, they had to put him on a truck that had this belt, like this conveyor belt type thing, to keep him steady that would move him from the transition from the small pond to the big pond. And he said, as he was watching that this little documentary, he said, you kind of felt sorry for that dolphin, because it was out of water, it was out of its element, but it was kind of like on these straps, I guess, and it was just kind of sitting. It was secure, but he was like on several straps as they were transporting him to the larger body of water. Of course, they got him to the larger body of water, they set him free, and now he can do all kinds of things he couldn't do in the little pond. And transitions are kind of like that, where you're kind of in your pond, and you're used to your pond, and yeah, it may not be comfortable, it may not be convenient, maybe some things that you'd like to do that you can't do, but you're used to it and it's familiar. And when God gets you ready for transitions and prepares you for transitions, sometimes it can almost feel like you're taking a step back. I mean, if you could, you know, if there was a dolphin whisperer at the time of that transport, that dolphin is probably thinking, this is really bad, this is really bad, I'm restricted, I can't do what I was able to do before. And then just in a few minutes later, wow, he could do things he could never do before. But in between the small pond and the bigger pond, there was transition. And so a lot of times when we're dealing with things, we're going through life, we'll experience these transitions. We'll experience these transitional things that will happen in our hearts. And to realize that as we're going through these transitions, that it's really preparing you for the next thing God has for you, which is going to give you more expression, more freedom, more satisfaction of what he's called you to do. And you know, there are some transitions that are thrust on you that you just got to go through. You don't have any choice. It came on you, and thank God he gives you the grace to go through it. There are other transitions, though, that you've got a choice. You can stay in that pond, or you can go to the bigger pond. And I've had these. I've stayed in that pond and stayed in that pond. And after a while, you get frustrated enough. I don't want to be in this pond anymore. I want to go to that next pond. And what God will do a lot of times with this transition stuff is he'll give you a divine dissatisfaction that will say, I don't care. Put me on the conveyor belt for a while. I don't care. Put me on the straps. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to get serious about God. Lay aside the weights and the sins and all that junk. I'm going to get focused because I'm ready to go from glory to glory. I'm done with this same old glory. You know, the Lord kind of gave me an illustration to kind of give me a kick one time too to move on. He said, Ed, just picture, you know, going to a Walmart and seeing one of those little carousels and seeing a 75-year-old man riding that carousel with a real serious look on his face going round and round. You go, wow, you know, you need to get off the carousel and graduate to the, you know, something. He said, that's what you can do spiritually. You can stay on the little carousel of what you know, what you're familiar with, what's good. And like I said, God is, there's opportunities. There's transitions that are thrust on you, but there's transitions you got to choose. You kind of know, oh, am I going to stay here? Or am I going to go? Am I going to go out of that bigger pond? What it is that God is leading me into? And so I remember in my childhood days when one of my friends was a big hunter and he had a slingshot. I don't even hardly see those around here anymore, but it was like this thing where there's a brace, you'd hold on to it, he had this tack knife, and you'd put it in back and it would pull back and it would just fling. And that's kind of like what transition does. You feel like you're going back two steps, but he's really just getting ready to launch you, to project you into something else, project you into something better. When Julie and I were, I remember expecting Whitney, we had these Braxton Hicks classes and they had these charts and there was like the phases. It was to kind of prepare you for the delivery process. And it was basically three different phases of labor. And you had the first phase, which was the early phase, and it was a big smiley face. And it says, yippee, I'm in labor. And then you had the active phase, which is kind of like, this kind of hurts, you know, and then you have transition phase, and that's where it's like, stop this, I'm going home, we'll do this tomorrow, you know, it's like, we're done. But transition phase is definitely those places where you feel like that duck out of water, like that dolphin out of water, you feel like there's something stirring, and all of a sudden you can't find your equilibrium and your basis in the familiar anymore because you sense that God's doing something, that there's transition. Again, sometimes these happen and you're going through it. You know, whether it's something that happens and you're going through it, there's grace is sufficient or God's leading you to it. You know, this is what we're talking about this morning. You know, that there is grace for these transitions and getting through these transitions. I mean, the Apostle Paul went from murderous Saul to, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, Apostle Paul, revelation of God's love. Man, transitions. There were some things that he went through. So as we're going to talk about this morning, getting through life's transitions, these are just some basic, simple little things that we can do while we're navigating, while we're going through them. The first thing, as you're sensing, perceiving a transition, whether, again, it's on you or whether you feel like God is leading you, man, pray. Pray. I'll tell you what, this is probably the most, you know, you can develop, don't talk for me, you can develop blind spots sometimes in your life. Things that are so close and you don't see it and you fuss and worry and wonder and accept, think, wow, have I really prayed about this yet? Pray. Pray. Prayer is one of the biggest, best things that you can do when it comes to that sense, that transition, that God leading and guiding. Here's what Jesus said. He just said, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Praise God. That's a comforting thing. The great thing about prayer as you're going through transition is it just begins to open the dialogue. It just begins to open that channel. It begins to open a narrative with God about this thing. And you know that you've got him, you know that he knows everything already. But you know what you've prayed, what you haven't prayed. And as you begin to pray things out and begin to pray out possibilities and options and possibilities and things like that, what you do is what Jesus said, you know, to ask, seek, knock, you know that you're giving him something to respond to. Yeah, I know what he wants me to do next. I know what he knows, but he knows a lot of things. But he's going to respond to what I ask. He's going to respond to what I seek. It's the asking, it's the seeking. That's why I said prayer can almost be a blind spot. I know that he knows. Prayer many times is just asking the obvious. That's all it is. You're just saying, it can be the elephant in the room. You're saying, Lord, there's the elephant in the room. I'm praying, what do you want me to do about that? It doesn't have to be flowery, fancy, just acknowledging God. That proverb says, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I'll direct your paths. I may not know what to do about that thing yet. I may not understand the big picture of this transition, or it may not be fully in focus, but I know one thing, I've acknowledged God with it. I've put that ball in his court, as it were. I've given him something to respond to. You know, I've done what he's asked me to do, to ask. Simply pray. Here's a couple prayers that you can pray along these lines that can be really helpful. And these are prayers that you don't just pray once. These are prayers that you can pray regularly. We kind of get these through the Apostle Paul. This is the Ephesians prayer. He says, I don't cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Praise God. In other words, you can on purpose pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation just means to unveil. And that's kind of the way transition is sometimes. You're not quite sure. It's like something, it's a vague concept, but it has a drop cloth over it. And you know that once the drop cloth is taken off, then you can see clearly what to do. And so Paul is saying, just pray on purpose for the revealing, or what it just means, the unveiling of what? The unveiling of verse 16, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Another hope is future, where he's leading. Lord, I am praying, Father, unveil that hope. Show me the things that you've ordained me to walk in. Give me a revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the hope of the calling that you have for me. Here's just another prayer kind of along those lines too, and this is in Colossians. I might need a little help. No, I got it. Okay. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look at this. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Praise God. In other words, this is a prayer that, again, is just targeted, you know, Father. And so this is kind of how I would do it. I mean, if I was just, you know, to pray this out and personalize it, I would just say, Father, I ask that you fill me with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I might walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of you. I want to be strengthened, Father, with all might, according to your glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Again, these are just ways that we can ask, some good scriptural ways that we can begin to, on purpose, lift that prayer request up to God. And the good thing about some of these concrete prayers, it's when you're in transition, that's kind of when things seem more of a blur. You don't really see as clear as you typically do. So it's nice to have a couple concrete prayers that you can go to kind of help get you going, even to jumpstart your own prayer life as it relates to praying some of these things. So I've done that. I've gone back to both of these prayers and said, Lord, I just sense something. There is a divine dissatisfaction going on in me. There's a transition that's going on, and I just pray, Lord, that you would show me what that is. Now, as you're talking about the will of God, again, and kind of transitioning through things, it's important to make a distinction that there is obviously the general will of God and there's the specific will of God, all right? The general will of God, you know, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. I don't have to pray and fast and seek God to know and ask if he wants me to forgive my brother, all right? He does. I know that. That's the general will of God, okay? The specific will of God has to do with those things that he's called me to do, to walk in. And those are the kind of things that we're kind of discerning, we're trying to transition, and we're kind of going from one season to another to find out. And a lot of times, you know, what he's going to do as you're tuning in, as you're just letting your request be known unto him and praying and keeping that before him, it's kind of like tuning into a radio station. I kind of like put it this way. You may have a favorite song. You know, maybe Come to the Altar is a kind of a song that's kind of out there recently. If I want to hear Come to the Altar, all right, or Come to the Table, I think is what it is. Come to the Table by Sidewalk Prophets. If I wanted to hear that, I could tune into to K-Love, you all right? Now, if I tuned into K-Love right now, I probably wouldn't hear it. But if I stayed tuned into K-Love long enough, I'd probably hear it pretty soon. And discerning God's will like that by faith and trying to get through that transition, it's kind of like what you're doing in prayer. You're just tuning in. I'm not tuning in because it's necessarily going to come right now. I'm just staying tuned in. I'm just staying in a place where I get ears to hear. I know he's going to play my song pretty soon. I know he's going to play my song. So I'm just staying tuned in by faith. I believe he is. That's why I'm tuning in. And I believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why I'm staying tuned in. Because I know he's going to reward. I know he's going to answer. I know that direction is going to come. So many times Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. There are things I know that I've missed simply because, not because God hasn't been talking, because I haven't had ears to hear. And so what I'm doing through prayer is I'm just plugging in. I'm just plugging in on purpose and listening and hearing what God is saying and just saying, Lord, you know, show me. Make that clear. Make that real to me. And like we said, too, as you begin to pray, as you begin to kind of tune in different things and whatnot, it's important to realize that God speaks to you in a way that you're already kind of familiar. In other words, I'd say, you know, one thing the scripture says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. You know you're not perfect. You know you're a work in progress. You know you got a lot of rough edges, but you know God loves you. It's a witness. That same witness that lets you know that God loves you, that witness that lets you know you're a child of God, Jesus said one day will lead and guide you into all truth. There will be a familiarity of that witness. There will be a certain sensing. There will be a certain knowing that, okay, yeah, this is right, this is God. But as you're discerning it, one of the great things that you begin to find out, let me just kind of say it this way, and we're kind of going to get more into that in just a second. But what I want to get at, first of all, is just to realize as you're praying, you're kind of praying and you're realizing that there is a dissatisfaction. But here's some cautions I just want to give you in this place, because I was blessed with a pastor who gave me this caution. I remember starting a new church. This was back in the early 90s. It was exciting. We had graduated Bible school, and we knew that this is where we needed to be, a great place to plug in, ministered the word, an opportunity to serve. And I remember my pastor saying, "Ed, man, we're so glad you're here. We're so glad, you know, you're doing what God's called you to do, and we're glad you feel like this is where your home is and all that." He said, and he knew that I was a Bible school graduate and that someday I was probably going to go out and pastor a church or do something like that. And he said, "But I want to tell you something, Ed." He said, "There's going to come a day when you're not going to be satisfied to be here. There will come a day," and I'm glad you're here. He said, "but there will come a day when you're not going to be satisfied to be here." And he said this to me. Now, I don't know if he just, because he'd experienced it with previous people or whatnot, but it was just the wisdom of God. He just said, "When that day comes," he said, "don't get critical of me." I mean, I'm loving this guy. I'm connecting. I'm revving. He said, "Don't get critical of me. Don't think I've lost the anointing. Don't think other people don't love God as much as you do." He said, "When that day comes, just recognize that God is beginning to stir you up to move you on." And I was so glad. It was like the Holy Ghost must have anointed him to say that. It wasn't, man, that was probably the longest church we were at. I mean, prior to coming here, we were there for almost 8 years. But lo and behold, the day came, and I just knew it. And all of a sudden, it's just like, praise God. And those words came, don't get critical, just that I'm moving, I'm working on you, and I'm so glad, because you can take that dissatisfaction and all of a sudden try to make everybody come in line so you can feel satisfied. It's not about everybody else. It's about me saying, God, okay, what is it? What do you have me? What do you want me to do next? And I remember just praying it out and different things like that. But I'll tell you what, that satisfaction can only be satisfied by doing what God had told me to do. And all of a sudden, I knew that God was stirring me up to move on. And I'll tell you what happened when I got that stirring, I immediately went to a place of where I was praying more. And I was kind of getting more here and getting in God's face. What am I doing? I'm tuning into the channel. You know, I'm tuning into that channel. You know, I'm kind of an organizer, a planner, like things. It'd be nice for me in one sense to just stay in the same season, right? I learn the rules. Don't shake the rules up every 15, 10 years. I got to learn the rules, but it's good. We need it. We need to keep walking by faith. And we know that we're going from one pond to another. You're going from glory to glory to glory. And every glory is a little bigger pond, a little more expression, a little more things. And so, you know, I know that I had to do that. I had to kind of get in God's face, tuning into that channel, saying, okay, Lord, show me, lead me, guide me. I'm trusting that you're going to do it. And let me say that too. Because I learned that there from that gracious pastor, that's been my heart here. We've always said, I'm your pastor, not your master, right? Door of Life is a safe place. Whether God calls you here for a service or 3 months or 3 years or 10 years or you're a lifer, whatever it is, all right? We are a launching pad. We are a place. And when God calls you here, we're honored that you're here. If God calls you to move on from here, we are honored to work with you and pray and send you out in faith, whatever it is that God has called you to do. We understand our scope. You only have one Lord and Master, that's Jesus Christ. I'm here to help you facilitate that, your walk with the Lord, to help you discern those seasons so you're not looking to a pastor or a person to navigate that, but Jesus, where this stuff gets real between you and him. So there's a prayer side, all right, kind of that spiritual, but then all of a sudden there's a planning, all right? That being said, we pray, we lift things up, but there is still going to also be a natural side. There's going to be stuff that we do, all right? This isn't all going to necessarily be seen in your prayer closet. There's going to be some stuff that he can lead you to do outside your prayer closet that's going to be a part of it. Well, you know, Paul, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Yeah, go into the city. It'll be told you. And then he tells Ananias, and Ananias goes, tells Paul. So ultimately, what you're listening for always, not just the answer, but what is he saying? What is he saying to do? If he's saying go into the city, then just go into the city. Even though I don't make sense, it doesn't make sense to me. If he's showing me something, a next step, that next step is going to be progress. There's going to be something contained. There's going to be some content in that next step that's going to get me to where I need to be. And so let's take a look at what I'm just simply calling the planning. There's a praying side, but there's also kind of a planning side to getting through life's transitions. And understand a few things as you're in the process of planning. Number one, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I love the amplified in this one. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. That's a good thing to remember. The Holy Spirit, who's leading and guiding you into all truth, is also working in you to will and to do. In other words, there is a desire to do. There is a working in you to will and to do. That's why there's a dissatisfaction sometimes. Because where you're at, you don't have the expression to do what God has called you to do. All right? And I'm not just saying geographically, I'm talking sometimes just spiritually, places where you're at. Or it could be, you know, different things. Again, Holy Spirit, like we say at Door of Life a lot of times, there's two sermons going on up here right now. The one I'm preaching here and the one the Holy Spirit's preaching in your heart, okay? So you got to kind of take some of this stuff and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But sometimes there's a place where there's a dissatisfaction because he's willing for you to do of something more. There's something that he has for you. That there's going to be an expression in that bigger pond. There's some, you know, triple flip somersaults as a dolphin you can do in that big pond that you can't do in the little pond. There's an expression of what your abilities are that he's put on the inside of you. that are going to be released in you. And so what is he doing? He's working in you. So that's one thing you can know. Well, God, as I'm planning, you're working in me to will and to do. Here's one of the great keys I've found to discerning what God has called you to do. This is kind of a natural thing, all right? We're talking about planning, right? One of the things that you can kind of take inventory of in your own life, what do you have a whole lot of patience for? When you look at something and you've got a lot of patience for it, you could do it, and you think, man, I could, you know, whether it's move this from here to here, or I can make this into a different thing, or I could create something or whatever, and there's something in you that just is willing and desiring to stay with it until you see. It's like you see something here and you could see it like this. You got a vision for something and you got the patience to stay with it until you get from here to there. If you've got patience for something like that, that's a good indicator that God is working in you to will and to do. You know, you look at other things and go, oh boy, that looks like a lot of work. Another person goes, no, that's really cool. I got patience. I'll stick with that. One body, many members, body of Christ. So that's kind of one thing to take a little inventory. What's the kind of stuff that, like, hey, man, I like this. I can stick with this. That's grace. In fact, that glorious power strengthens you for patience and long suffering with joy. If you've just kind of naturally got an inclination towards something where you can just stick with it, it's a pretty good sign that God has deposited something in you that's probably put leading in that direction. Again, you might find the current pond you're in is a little restrictive for what you'd like to do with that. Transitional, begin to pray about it, and let God lead you, begin to guide you, but know that he's working in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. And the other aspect too is not only can we know that he's working in us to will and to do to give us that compulsion to do it, but also in John 17, Jesus said, get my angle right here. Sorry, might need a little help. Okay. John 17, 16 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Here's the Amplified of 17. If any man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize and tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking from myself and of my own accord or on my own authority. That's a pretty amazing way to put it. He will have the needed illumination to recognize for himself. Now, in this context, it's whether Jesus was really representing God or not. But as he's leading and guiding you into all truth, that same Holy Spirit will give you the needed illumination to recognize and tell for yourself whether something is God or not, all right? Here's kind of how it works. This kind of works in conjunction. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians, And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. I love that. So these two scriptures kind of work together. There's an alerting. There's an illumination. The Holy Spirit is there to give you an alert. It's like, wow, that's it. I kind of like to put it like red light, green light. There's kind of a red light, and thank God for red lights. We need red lights too. God will give us red lights to protect us and green lights to know, okay, good, it's time to go. But there is an alerting that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, is to give us that illumination that we can recognize for ourselves. So for me, you know, I remember having this inflection point, and I was at that church where that kind pastor told me, one of these days, you know, this isn't going to be, you're going to want to go. And so I was at that point. And I said, okay, Lord, I had all these choices. You know, there was a guy who was starting up a church in Menominee, Wisconsin, a pastor, and there was Rhema was offering a third year in Bible school. And Julie and I were looking at possibly maybe starting a church back then as a possibility. So I had all these different choices. And so I remember just having, and it's like anything, when you've got choices and transitions, you can run the little T-chart, pros and cons. And every little choice that you've got, you can make a case. You can lawyer it for or against. You could play either side of it, you know, and make a case for it, you know, options and things that you have. And so as I was praying and I had it laid out before God, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, the Lord just kind of, I mean, I was just kind of listening. I'm just kind of putting it out there. Should I go back to Rhema for a third year? Do we help this guy start a church? Or do Julie and I start a church? Or do I stay where I'm at? You know, I'm open to anything, Lord, whatever you want me to do. You know, but there's just something going on here. And I remember the Lord just saying so specifically in my heart at that moment, he alerted me. And he said, of all those options, Ed, he said, which one comes back to you the most? And it was helping that pastor start a church in Menominee, Wisconsin. But it was an hour and a half away. And immediately you go down your con list, right? When you kind of get the sense, yeah, but it's an hour and a half away. I mean, we've got, you know, at that point, you know, in 2000, it was 2000, you know, we had four kids, you know, 0, 2, 4, 6. And out driving an hour and a half to church on a Sunday morning and thinking, wow, Lord, that can't be you. You know, that can't be you. I mean, Caleb was not, you know, just like a year old, but we got him settled in with a Barney video, and he did just great on that whole trip. So God gave us the grace we needed to do it. Sorry, Caleb. It was one of those things, though, you know, you kind of go back and forth. But here's the cool thing. You know, after you get done going through your cons and saying, it can't be God because, then you go back through the pros. Say, wow, this will be a chance for you to be mentored under people you already know and love and respect who love you to see how it's done and to experience it and experience what a starting up a church is like and to be involved and have hands on. And then all of a sudden it turned into prophetic. He said, then I'm going to show you, I'm going to equip you, and I'm going to raise you up and prepare you for the church and the work that I've called you to do. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, praise God. And then all of a sudden that hour and a half drive didn't matter because I had the word of the Lord. See? So the cons don't matter once you hear from God. Once you get alerted, you know, that same witness, he's God, he's right, he's Lord, do that. It's like, all right, whatever, the grace is going to be sufficient for whatever that is, you know. So, I mean, that's it. That's just kind of all, that's all there is to it. So then you got it, you know, and you're good. And you can go and you can walk it out. And I mean, I remember going through that and experiencing it. I'm so glad I did. There are so many things you think. I went there for that first service, helping him out was like, wow, it was like, you know, the doors were just packed out. Of course, it was 90% friends and family coming to wish us well. It was that second service. And you looked around and went, wow, all right, we are pioneering, praise God. There was a lot of good, healthy stuff I experienced in there that kind of helped prepare me for, you know, pioneering Door of Life. But I'll tell you what, once I kind of got that go, once I got that word, once I kind of knew it, you had that witness of the Spirit that, hey, this is it, this is God, go ahead, then praise God. Then you're able to take that next step and go on and do what God has called you to do. And so, but there's a trusting right there, and he will show you, he will lead and guide you by his Spirit into all truth. I'll tell you what, I just think of even this, being here right now today. I mean, I got that same knowing 16 and a half years ago. It was January of 2002. I got the witness and the knowing. 16 years, 6 months ago. 16 years, 7 months ago, I was wondering what God wanted to do with me. Graduated Bible school, maybe 10 years, and not quite 10 years, but just, you know, just, Lord, what are you doing? I want to do it. But there was a transition time. But then God spoke and he showed. But there was, you got to remember, you get the stories, you get the answer. But it's that time before to stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. All right? Which kind of brings us to our next point, all right? Which is persevere, all right? Because it's great to know 16 years and 6 months ago what God told me. But it said 16 years, 7 months ago to stay with it till you get to that point, all right? God, stay with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't draw back. Don't faint. Realize there is an answer here. Stay tuned. God's going to play your song. Just stay tuned into the channel. Your number is coming up, all right? And he's going to make sure. And sometimes we say this too. Along this persevering line, he's preparing you for every good work. There's a work that happens in that transition that's preparing you for it. We live in a world that is get rich quick. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to get your name out. I'm going to get you. You're going to be known. You're going to be famous. You got to go, go, go. That's not the way God works. That's not the way his kingdom works. In fact, that's exactly the way Satan works. Satan just wants to exalt you, period. God will exalt you in due season. There's a difference. I was talking to somebody the other day about the backstories of many people who win these lotteries. It's destructive. They're exalted in a sense financially, but it's just not, they're not prepared for it, and it destroys them. And that's kind of our mentality, just more, bigger, better, quicker, faster. That's success. Not at all. God isn't about you being famous, quick, and rich, and overnight, and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't mind. He does want to exalt you. He does want your influence to expand, but it's in due season. And so during this transition time, he's doing stuff in you too. There's pruning and things that he's doing in you. You're getting more serious, and you're not putting up with little things, and you're making some consecrations and different things like that. It's not legalism or because brother so-and-so, because you're going somewhere. You're going somewhere in God, and these are weights and their sins, and they beset you for 10 years and no more, and I'm ready to go on to that bigger pond. And you get motivated during this transition stuff. So realize that it's not just a matter of waiting till he plays the songs, but while my song hasn't played yet or I don't have that direction, there's good stuff going on. You're getting stronger than you realize. You're getting more in tune than you realize. So when he launches you, you're there and you're accurate and you know and you're hearing from God. Good stuff's happened. So there's persevere. Now, Jeremiah 29 puts this, and I love this Jeremiah scripture because to me it's a great scripture of hope. As I'm persevering, some things that I can know. For I know the thoughts I think to you, toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You'll call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I love that. That to me, that's one of those things that, you know, he's got a plan. It's good, seeking, searching with all my heart. And that's a lot of times what's going on in that transition time. Lord, I'm giving you more of my heart. I'm giving you more of my heart, more of my spirit with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Stuff is just giving more to God. And you know, in exchange, you're getting ears to hear and sensitivity to the Spirit of God and different things like that. And so this is a scripture that I think of that. As I'm searching you with all my heart, Lord, I'm persevering. I know you got plans. I know they're good. And here's just the final scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:14. It says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. This is a great scripture too, as you're persevering to realize, and I just love that verse 18, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. This is what is that? That's the sovereignty of God. My faith has nothing to do with that. He places you in the body as he pleased. And so it's a real point of humility. And really, you know, we live in a world say, yay, son, daughter, you can be whatever you want to be. And that's good. That's good. You want to encourage, yeah, you can be, you can go, you can do it, you can go for it. But to really satisfy what God has called you to do, it's not just, it's listening. It's saying, Father, show me what that is. Again, patience, desire, he's working in you to will and to do. There will be a connection there for sure. But yet there's still a humility saying, Father, you place me in there. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to say. How you want me to, Jesus said, I say what I hear the Father say, I do what I see him do. There is a sweet humility that you maintain at all times. He gives grace to the humble. That grace is sufficient. And so in this perseverance, it's a constantly looking up and saying, Lord, I'm yours. I mean, it's a vapor down here. A few years, we're gone. We're with him. This is my opportunity to bear the fruit, to do the good works that you've walked me, ordained me to walk in. So these are the times, and it's important to realize again too that they're good plans. You can trust where God is leading you. I remember Julie and I would joke, we didn't know what we were going to do ministerially, but we joked that God was going to send us to Texas and have to live off the love offerings of, you know, 5 junior high age boys, and that was going to be our ministry for the rest of our lives, and that would be it, you know, because you're thinking we're going to sell out to God, you know, and everything that you want me to do. Not at all. when you persevere, he's going to give you the desires of your heart, because he put those desires in there, because he worked and willed them in there as you're following after him and as you're putting this before him. And you find out that you want what he wants. He gives you the desires of his heart because you're delighting in him. And you see it. And it's really cool. You begin to realize, wow, I don't have to have any agenda from God here. He's put the heart in me that I have. I'm fully working, fully cooperating with his heart. I can trust whatever that plan is. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. And so I'm going to persevere. I'm going to stay with it until I hear it, until I see it. So getting through life's transitions, there is a point of prayer where we're going to pray. We're going to acknowledge God. We're going to say, Father, show me things to come. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that you'll lead and guide me into all truth by your Spirit. Praise God, that you'll make that real, that you'll make that clear to me. I'm going to plan. In other words, I'm going to kind of do my due diligence. These are some possibilities, some things that I lift up, pray about, pros, cons, pray over different things, give the Spirit of God something to bear witness to. And finally, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to stick with it. Until I know. Here's a great little song to me that kind of captures just the essence of what we're talking about this morning. It goes, in the things familiar, we find security, resisting all the changes that days and years can bring. When God desires to lead you through an open door, inviting you to walk in realms you've never known before. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to come. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you. Into a greater power than you've ever known before. Arise, O mighty army, take up your shield and sword, for the Father lifts his golden lamp inside the open door. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to come. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you into a greater power than you've ever known before. It's interesting, in our last worship soaking night, I had a word along those lines, and I could see a picture of a door that was opened, and the light was actually brighter on the other side of the door than it was as you're walking through. You're kind of walking through that door by faith, but you know that's the way it is. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter as unto the noonday. And it's like that light just kind of shining in there. But you got to take those steps of faith with the witness and the alert that he gives you and the peace that he gives you. But then as you walk through that door, there's more confirmations after that. It goes, yes, that was it. That was God. That was God. That was God. And pretty soon it's just full on. Here we go. You know, but there is going to be that step of faith as you're walking through the door. Praise God. But God will get you through those transitions. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said that you wouldn't leave us as orphans. You wouldn't leave us comfortless. But that, praise God, we've got the Holy Spirit here to lead and guide us into all truth, including the truth, Lord, of these transitions as you're getting us from one season of life to another season of life. We thank you, Father God. We can pray, we can plan, we can persevere, and that you're with us every step of the way. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am yours. I've been bought with a price. I want to glorify you with my life. I pray, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Unveil to me the hope of my calling, that the eyes of my understanding can see it and I can walk in it. I will do what I know to do, to tune into you, to plug into you, to keep a listening ear, to plan, to write things down, to give you something to bear witness to. And I thank you, Lord, you will never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You'll bring it to pass. I will persevere. I will stay tuned in. You'll play my song, and I'll respond. I'll sing it out with my life, and I'll bear much fruit that brings glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. No matter what it is, no matter what the transition is, like I said, these can be natural things. They could be things thrust on you. You could be in the middle of a season, but God's got a little transition within your season, you know, that he wants you to go from glory to glory or something, you know, to do. So, however, again, the Holy Spirit relates this to you. Just be encouraged. God will get you from here to there. He'll alert you. He'll show you. There will be a step of faith, but know that pond you're going to, it's a bigger, better pond. You're going from glory to glory. Amen. Praise God.